You know, I don't know if you've heard of this McKinney thing. You know what? I don't even know how old it is. Well, here's a CNN article. And you know what? Welcome to the world in which we live. Texas pool party police officer, or pool party chaos, quote, out of control. The police officer has now resigned. Well, there you go. You're having America's finest now leaving, or at least you're having this one officer leave. This is It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here. You could call in at 610-539-TALK as you drive this morning. Hey, avoid I-295, by the way. There apparently was 80,000 pounds of apple juice being hauled by a tractor trailer, and it flipped on its side. So, unless you have a real craving for apple juice this morning, avoid I-295 there. That is a mess, and it's going to be a mess for a while. Welcome to the program, by the way. It's a pleasure to have you as we look at the headlines from a Christian perspective. Now, the Texas pool party McKinney incident, the police officer has now resigned. Way to go. We happy, news media? We happy? We got to blow something out of proportion. And now everyone, I'm sure, is happy. This is a CNN article, so I'm getting... I bash CNN a lot. I just do. They're such an easy target. I know, I sound like a bully, don't I? Believe me, that's the last thing in my mind. But when someone twists information and promotes their own agenda like CNN does, I can't help but notice it. So the police officer has resigned. Here's the article from CNN, just days after that video went viral online. In the video, if you hadn't seen it, I've watched it. There was a police officer, a couple police officers were called to a scene after a group of teens were apparently in a neighborhood when they had been asked to leave. They'd not lived there. They were asked to leave and they refused to comply. Apparently a fight even broke out among the party, and I don't know how many teens there were, but in the video there's at least 20 or 30 people. I don't know how many of them were actually part of the party. I don't know how many of them were just residents watching. The police had now been called. But then you see the so-called police, or the police officer in question going around, and something agitated him for some reason. He's running around and he's telling people to sit down on the ground. He's not necessarily forcing anyone. He's saying, get on the ground, get on the ground. He is cursing, by the way, which some people were actually appalled at that. Some people were saying that's unprofessional. I think it's unprofessional, but I will say this as well, though. Is it something worth losing his job over and garnering national scrutiny? Because I'm sure he's not the only police officer to do that, and not the only person to do that in front of kids. The same people who are sitting there going, oh, that's unprofessional, I'm sure, have no restraint cursing in front of either their children or their friends or in public, because we all know we have been graced with the obscenities of the few in our day-to-day activities. So that's a thought on that. But anyway, he's going around and he's telling these teenagers, and they're young teenagers who aren't listening, by the way, to go ahead and sit down. And he's trying to control the situation. It's him and another police officer. Something got under him, whether someone didn't listen, someone gave him lip or something. He said, sit down on the ground, sit down on the ground. You sit in the grass. And he's telling other teenagers to leave, one of which is this bikini-clad girl, as she's become to be known. And she was told to leave twice by the police officer. You can see in the video. She comes over, she's saying things, and there's some other people who he tells to leave as well, and they actually do leave. They come back later, though. No one reports on that. You just have to watch the video, I guess, to find that they were ignoring direct police instruction to sit there and leave the situation, because they were going to have to leave anyway. They were there, and it's not their community. They were asked to leave, and because they were asked to leave and they did not, the police were called. That's why the police were there in that community. So that's the truth of the matter. This wasn't just a police officer throwing down a 14-year-old girl. It blows my mind that people get upset at stuff like this. Because if you look at the video, it's really not that shocking. Because he tells her to leave. He tells these other individuals to leave. They leave, and then they come back. It's amazing. He got angry. And I don't know. I guess when you're a police officer, you expect to be listened to. I would think. 610-539, talk the number to call. I can only think of a few scenarios. Either one, someone's lacking a few brain cells in those teenagers there. Or two, the police officer apparently just did not know what his authority was. Apparently he doesn't have any authority to do anything anymore. That's the only thing I could think of, quite honestly. And I'm sorry, we should have given him the memo as a country that, no, I'm sorry, as a police officer, you don't have any authority to do anything anymore. You're just there to stand and smile. And then, and who needs a gun? Who needs a taser? You know, we just stand there and smile. You know, if someone won't leave, we'll just wait. They'll leave eventually. They're kids, you know. You don't have to get all violent and stuff on them. Well, let me ask you this. What else is he going to do? 610-539. I know it's the morning. I know it's early. And we have a scripture of the day because I got an interesting scriptural take on this. Some of you may know where I'm going with this. Others of you may not. Hey, if you're just listening to the program for the first time, welcome. Mike Levin's here for 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Working for your liberty. You can call in on this program. That's 610-539-TALK. And thank you so much for listening, by the way. I love it when, I don't love it when you hear of a crash, but when you hear of a crash of like a semi-truck trailer, and like, because the one on I-295, one overturned apparently, but I love it when you hear about the load that they were carrying, because it's always something, you know, because they carry a whole lot of stuff. You know, in this case, it was 80,000 gallons of apple juice, and I sit there and go, this thing overturned on I-295. I hope everyone's okay. I hope the driver's okay. I don't think there's any reported injuries right now, but you sit there and go, I wonder what 80,000 gallons of apple juice looks like on the highway. I wonder what that looks like. You know, you feel bad, obviously. You feel bad for the driver. You feel bad for the company, of course. That's a lot of lost revenue there, potential revenue. But you sit and think to yourself, well, I wonder what that looks like, actually. Because it's either, you know, like 80,000 gallons of apple juice or, who knows, 50,000 Spider-Man action figures littering the highway. Because of a tractor trailer that got into an accident or overturned. Pray that no one is hurt. Pray that everything is okay and that everything will be able to be resolved, but avoid I-295 this morning. Here's another thing. Keep this in your prayers, by the way. There's a local pastor who I actually have met before. He is in the hospital right now. His name is Brian Cuck. He pastors Glad Tidings up in Reading. It's a Glad Tidings Assemblies of God church. A couple days ago, he and his wife were in an accident. They were riding a motorcycle, and an SUV apparently rammed into them. And unfortunately, his wife lost her life. And he is now in the hospital. Apparently, he has had to undergo an amputation and has severe abdominal injuries and is undergoing treatment, hopefully to make a speedy recovery. But the church is absolutely... And I've met this man before. He's a wonderful man, extremely nice man. And serving the Lord in a lot of ways in this in the community, and he's very inextricably connected with the community. So just keep him in your prayers, please, if you will. His name is Brian Cuck. I can't even imagine what him and his church are undergoing right now. The stress, I to imagine that your life just changes immediately in the blink of an eye, quite frankly. And you're having a Job situation, as I characterize him in my head. That is where we've got to join them in the grieving. You know, as Christians, just please keep him in your prayers and keep him in your hearts. We're all going to be looking at this story. This is a local story. And I'm going to be paying attention to it and kind of giving you an update from time to time. But just keep him in your prayers this morning. And if you hadn't heard of that, you know, just know that that's going on. It's a church. It's called Glad Tidings Assemblies of God in Reading. It's a very big church, very influential church, and has had quite an impact on the community. Brian Cucks is the senior pastor there, and his wife, who also pastored there, passed away, unfortunately. So we'll keep those... that whole church in your prayers as they undergo this terrible tragedy. But moving on from that, though, so there's always no shortage of news to talk about here. So we're going to get back to McKinney. I'm not going to leave that one go. We are approaching a break slowly here, but I don't know why, but everyone wants to think that America as a country is racist. Everyone. And that's the narrative now. Everyone's pushing that story that America is racist and that we're still struggling with these racist issues. I'm speaking for myself here, and I'm speaking for the millennial generation. We don't give a hoot. And when I mean that, it's not that if there's true racism, we care. But as far as race in general, whether I'm African-American, and I'm not, I'm white, but whether you're African-American or black, as a lot of people are just, oh, I'm not going to say African-American because that's politically correct. I'm just going to say you're black. You know, whatever you want to call it, Asian or we, my generation doesn't care about that. Is that shocking? Is that some major revelation? Because I honestly feel like this is left over from the baby boomer generation who had to deal with real issues, civil rights issues, and there was real racism, and there still is in pockets, of course, and there always will be. Any thinking individual knows that. But apparently, it's still alive and well. I think that they're just trying to fight a battle that, quite frankly, is already done for the most part. We're going to get back with McKinney. Don't go away.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I use the bus to go to church. I met a lady who just got out of prison. I gave her my Pocket Testament and witnessed to her. The next Sunday, she was baptized.
Hello, I'm Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. We'd love for you to experience the joy that comes from giving someone the inspired Word of God. We'll make it easy for you. Won't you join us?
Another lady who was having a hard time asked me to pray for her. I did and gave her a Pocket Testament. She's going to church regularly and studying the Bible. I thank God for these two people every day.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC. And get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's
610-304-1493. So, one of the girls who was at this pool party thing that happened to McKinney is apparently happy that he stepped down, that this police officer stepped down. Well, of course she would be. She's 15. And police officer crashed her party. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, you're just rushing to judgment on this one. Well, no, I watched the video. And the reason that I'm saying, because here's what, well, let me see here, Tatiana Rhodes, because apparently what happened was a fight broke out that was racially charged, apparently. So you want to talk about irony. There's been calls that this was all about race. It's all about race, this police officer getting involved, and that's how the story has been spun. It's all about race, race, race. It's all we're hearing. Oh, for the love. There are pockets of racism, and I mean, of course, I could go to the story that basically shows you, and you know, that basically shows you that, you know, there's racism on the other side too. There's a story from, well, here in Philly actually, where a woman was actually beat up by African-American men in her own home, calling her racial epithets. So, I mean, I could go to that story, okay? I really don't feel like doing it, though, because then there's always going to be another story, quite frankly. Hello? There's always going to be another story where, oh, someone is doing something ridiculous and is opposite of what you're seeing in one story. You could always find more, and there's never going to be a shortage. I have learned that very well working in this business. But this girl, and that's what she is, Tatiana Rhodes, okay? Apparently, there were two white women who came out and told the group of African-American teens, this is reading the CNN article now, that they should leave and, quote, go back to their Section 8 homes. Whether or not that was the wisest way to do it, apparently one of the women smacked this girl in the face. So that is how the fight started. Okay, ironically enough, it was not the police officer who had anything to do with racism. Apparently, it was two white women who had to do with racism. And all of this stuff that's getting, you know, all this has been simmering underneath because people have stereotypes out there. You want to know what is racist, these stereotypes. And when I say, and please don't take that out of context, you know, what is racist? Listen, a stereotype is a stereotype. I don't think someone's racist because they may stereotype someone. But that's the real issue here. I mean, can we just be honest? That's the real issue, the stereotypes. I mean, when you sit there and go back to your Section 8 homes, you're telling me that's not causing an issue? That's not the issue here? Some people would say that's racism. I just think it's a stereotype. People were unhappy. Those women were clearly unhappy that those group of teens were there. They probably shouldn't have been there to begin with. They didn't live there. And it was handled very poorly. But, so apparently we got some commentary from this 15-year-old. Not that she's probably, listen, she's 15, okay? She doesn't really know a whole lot about the world yet. And yes, you don't really know a whole heck of a lot about the world at 15. I'm 24. 9 years ago I was 15. That seems like an eternity for some young listeners who may be out there. And if you're listening, by the way, hey, thanks for listening. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, by the way. If you disagree with me, go ahead. Call in 610-539-TALK. But we really shouldn't be hanging on the edge of commentary from a 15-year-old who says, quote, I'm happy that he's resigning. I feel that everyone in McKinney will feel better that he's resigning. It's the first step. The first step to what? The first step to what? What is the first step? What are we trying to do? Make police officers... Because here's... And this is these are the facts that I'm going to get to. In the video. If you watch the YouTube video, which there's plenty of YouTube videos, you just type McKinney Pool Party in a YouTube, and you'll get a whole bunch of stuff. It just pop up there just like that. And just with that same noise, too. And you're going to get all this stuff come up, and you're going to see the pool party. Now, the chief of police has come out and said that the officer was acting ridiculous and he was out of control. And quite honestly, I don't know what necessarily set him off, because he was running around and telling people to sit down. Okay, but from the way I'm looking at it, I see a bunch of kids who are not complying with police instruction. So he's trying to get control over the situation, because there's, at least from the video, you can only see three police officers and probably about 20 kids. Now, they're in their teens. But, and here's the other thing that no one's reporting, by the way. So this girl, Tatiana Rhodes, I think is her name, the one who actually got slammed down, I guess you could say. Slammed down, if you call it that. She comes, okay? Police officer tells her to leave. Once. She walks off with some friends after giving some lip. He tells it to some other people. They walk off as well. She comes back to the scene after being told by a police officer to leave the area because they were not there. They weren't supposed to be there, okay, in this neighborhood. So he tells them to leave. He's angry. She walks off a little bit and then comes right on back. He tells her to leave again. She walks off a little bit, but not after giving the police officer some lip and not exactly listening. She keeps on walking, keeps on giving him lip, and he says, "All right, you know what? Come here." Grabs her, and that's when he begins to force her to the ground. He doesn't slam her, okay? He's grabbing her and putting her on the ground. And yeah, he's doing it with force. Now, when he's doing this, because everyone says, well, he drew his gun. He didn't have to draw his gun. Let me explain to you what happened in the story. And this one's under my craw. Forgive me. It's under my craw a little bit. He puts her on the ground. He's trying to handcuff her. And immediately, these people he told, these teenagers, to leave the situation, to leave the area, come and surround him. About 9 of them. And two men, who are probably about 14 or 15, come right next to him while he's trying to handcuff her for resisting arrest and resisting police instruction, come around and start waving their hands, trying to pick a fight with him. That's what it looks like. So what does he do? He draws his pistol. He takes it out for about 3 seconds. He doesn't aim it at anyone. And if you see in the video, he actually has his pointer finger extended, which means if you know anything about firearms, which means that he's not ready to fire his firearm. He's not pulling it out to shoot someone. He's pulling it out because he feels threatened because these kids were right next to him. Okay? And they moved around him like they were about to fight him because they saw him taking one of their friends to the ground. You know what I see here? I'll tell you what I see in a minute. He takes out his firearm for about 3 seconds. And then you know what he does? He puts it right back in his holster. And then goes to try to keep on handcuffing this girl. That's the situation. That's what happened. And that's why this guy resigned. I'm sure. Well, you know what? It may have been on his own will. Because he may have said, you know what? I've dealt with this crap long enough. Goodbye. And we're going to lose people who actually want to do this job, because you know what's the real issue here? Here's the real issue no one wants to talk about. You know what I see in this video? I don't see a police officer who's out of control. I see a police officer who's dealing with a highly stressful situation, and you know what else he's dealing with? Kids who have no respect for authority. That's it. That's the real issue here. They were told to leave numerous times. They didn't leave. They tried to pick a fight with this guy, okay? He pulled the gun out. And then they run off like the cowards that they are. And you say, oh, well, you would run if you saw a gun, too. Well, I wouldn't try to pick a fight with a police officer, quite frankly. You know what I see? For whatever reason, these kids don't give a hoot about authority, and they're willing to challenge it whenever. So I guess apparently we're just going to have to do community policing and look at our streets with a nice smile, and if someone does something wrong, we're just going to love them out of it. We're not going to have to enforce the law anymore, because the law doesn't matter after all. You got to get with it. You haven't joined the movement. We're going to get rid of all laws. We're going to get rid of all force, anything to enforce it. I don't know that that's exactly what God would think about the situation. I've got a scripture for that in a minute. Looking for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. His lawyer says a McKinney, Texas police officer has gotten death threats over a video showing him pushing a teenage girl to the ground and pointing his gun at other kids at a pool party. Officer David Casebolt has now resigned. Randolph Bush with the Dallas Morning News.
The McKinney Police Department quickly determined that this was an unacceptable reaction by this officer. The chief came out and said that Corporal Casebolt was out of control at the scene, and he announced that Casebolt had resigned.
The former cop's white, the teenagers in the video are black. The Cleveland Cavaliers almost blew a 20-point lead, but beat Golden State 96-91, now up 2-1 in the NBA Finals. Warrior Stephen Curry.
I think we were playing hard and we were into it, but there are no results to show for it, and you can't really, you know, get any spark.
LeBron James scored 40 points for Cleveland. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland, graduated its first class on this day, June 10, 1854. The Academy was established under the direction of George Bancroft, Secretary of Navy under President James Polk. Bancroft was also known as the father of American history, having written the first comprehensive history of the U.S. He wrote that the divine being should be known not as a distant providence, but as God present in the flesh, amid the sorrows protracted during centuries, carried peace into the bosom of humanity.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Veterans. WFYL is pleased to participate in Greater Harleysville and North Penn Senior Services Veterans Expo. Stop by our table on Wednesday, June 10th from 9 to 1 p.m. Vets, make sure you are aware of the benefits you have earned. Find out about available resources, vision screenings offered, light refreshments available. Located at Encore Experiences Harleysville Senior Center. Call 215-256-6900 for more information. Could the scripture say anything about McKinney? I think it does, actually. And I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. Welcome to the program. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. There's so many headlines to get to. There's always so many headlines to get to. Mike Levin's here. You could call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. So the political race is gearing up. Republican candidates are multiplying like rabbits, it would seem. There are so many of them out there. Joking with Rob Gleason the other day, head of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania, that, well, you did not make your announcement to run for president. We interviewed him. He had the perfect platform to do it here. Right here on the station. Could have announced his candidacy for the presidency. I mean, join the bid. There's so many people joining the fight to become president. Welcome to the program. And I think that God has something to say about this whole McKinney situation and his scripture. What do you think? Some people think that, how in the world is God going to have anything to do with this? How is it applicable? I think he has everything to do with this. Everything. Well, did you know now, before we get into that, NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton, apparently to the NY Daily News, says it's hard to hire black cops because too many have criminal histories. Oh, the firestorm that has generated because of that. Now, I want to read you the headline of another article, and this is one I want to reference. This is The Guardian. Life as a black cop, caught between love for the NYPD and the people they serve.
Well, what does this article have to say? Well, it follows Eric Adams, a lieutenant with the New York Police Department, who took a white rookie into a public housing in their precinct. This is how it begins. And there was a someone had urinated in the elevator. And the officer said, "You see, Lieutenant, these people are animals. They don't deserve anything." And then Adams responded, "Only one person went in the elevator. The people in this building are just as upset over that as you are." Adams, who is black, was an officer for 22 years on the force. He spoke out against police brutality and served as president of the Black Fraternal NYPD Guardians Association. He was a captain when he left in 2006 to enter politics. Now, the Brooklyn Borough president, Adams says officers and management must stop making assumptions about poor communities based on the, quote, numerical minority that commits most of the offenses. And what is he talking about there? He's talking about these stereotypes, like that one young officer encapsulated in his statement, "These people are animals, they don't deserve anything." Well, someone did something. Just because one person did doesn't mean the whole batch is wrong or bad. The majority of residents in every community, Adams says, want the, quote, same thing as a millionaire. An environment where they can raise a healthy child. They may not go to a high-paying job on Wall Street, but they go and clean the streets. But if the police don't have interaction with the healthy people in that community, then they'll never know how to properly police it. Now that is wisdom speaking, because he has the biggest of points that can be made in this whole debate as far as police in our modern day, because that's what it's turning into, all these different separate stories of police brutality. It's mind-numbing. It makes my mind numb after a while. But all of these different stories point to that one thing. But that's wisdom. He says police need to interact with some of the healthy people in the community. Because police, think about it, all they're interacting with are the lawbreakers, the criminals. When you call the police, you never really call the police for a good reason. You know? And that can jade your perspective. And instead of piling on the men and women in law enforcement who are serving our community, perhaps we need to get behind them and support them, even when they make mistakes. Was the guy in the McKinney situation overreacting? In the beginning, it depends. I don't know what set him off. I just see him running around. Because that reaction to another situation would be perfectly normal. We wouldn't say it would be overreacting, but we don't know what it was. So I can't say. I will say this, though. When he was telling people to sit down on the ground, when he was telling teens to sit down on the ground, try to control the situation, which was clearly out of control, and when he was trying to tell this one girl in particular to leave, and she didn't do that, he didn't do anything wrong. That's just me. When he pulled his firearm, he put it right back in his holster, and it was because he felt like he was threatened by the teens that were surrounding him. I mean, it's amazing how people lie about this story, and that's what it's a flat-out lie, a lot of the stuff that is saying. For example, here we go. Here's the CNN article. Here's the pinnacle of journalism here. A white witness who was at the scene in the McKinney incident says it was racially motivated. And who is this? This is Brandon Brooks, who's a 15-year-old white teen. He shot the video. He's saying it's racially motivated. Oh, well, that does it. It's racially motivated because a 15-year-old teenager said so. And how police responded. He said the officer was targeting black teens at the scene. "I was one of the only white people in the area when that was happening." Well, maybe that has something to do with it, that you were one of the only white people there. Perhaps there were only three of you when there may have been 20 African-American people. So maybe it felt like he was going after them? Maybe because there were simply more of them. I love how logic flies out the window. "You can see in part of the video when he tells us to sit down, and he kind of like skips over me and tells all my African-American friends to go sit down. probably because they weren't listening to him. Because I watched the video, and it's not like they, it's not like when he said, sit down, they immediately went, yes, sir. They all gave him lip. And you could see it. Watch the video yourself. Brandon said the argument that drew police to the pool party didn't even involve most of the teens Case Bolt was going after. It was a fight between a mom and a girl, which had nothing to do with all the other kids. Well, the police, that has everything to do with them, because in their minds, there's a fight. They need to control the situation, get everyone out of there, and restore peace. Brandon said he was unnerved to see his friend tackled and pressed to the ground. I think she was, quote, running her mouth, and she was, and she has freedom of speech. And that was very uncalled for him to throw her to the ground. Well, when you're resisting a direct order from police to leave a situation, quote, running her mouth, you're gonna get into trouble. In that case, she was getting handcuffed. Told me to keep walking, and I kept walking, and then I'm guessing he thought we were saying rude stuff to him. And this is Dejera Becton, that she obeyed Case Bolt's order to leave when he grabbed her. Quote, he grabbed me, twisted my arm on my back, and shoved me in the grass and started pulling the back of my braids. I was telling him to get off me because my back was hurting bad. That, I guess, is the girl who was on the ground. The officer places her hands behind her back and then keeps her on the ground because he was surrounded by very angry teens at that time. It's amazing. I'm guessing he thought we were saying rude stuff to him. No, you weren't listening to him. Here's a scripture of the day. And quite frankly, this is, what does God say about this? What does scripture say about this? Well, here's a scripture. I'll let you decide for yourself. Romans 13, verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Verse 2, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Verse 3, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. Verse 4, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, verse 5, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. That's what the scripture says about authority. And you know what I see in that video? I don't see a police officer overstepping his bounds. I see kids, teens, okay? Some really pushing the limit teens, quite frankly, who don't give a rip about authority. And you know who we have to blame for that? We have none other to blame than them, the parents, and honestly, us as a society. That's where the real, because as a society, we don't care for authority. We really don't. And what does scripture say about it? This is the Christian perspective. Authority, those in authority, those are God's servants for your good. So those police officers, guess what? According to scripture, they're God's servants. Those of you who go to church and who agree with all this and who think that this is an outrage, did you think about that scripture? Those police officers are God's servants. That's what scripture says. And you know what? If you do what is right, you will be commended. That's what it says too. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For the rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll go ahead and finish up this conversation. We got more to get to on It's a New Day.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states and NMLS number 3030.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Luke 6, 12 and 13 says, "Now it came to pass that in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued in prayer to God all night. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Listen, before we make decisions regarding our financial stewardship, what is it we do in order to come to a conclusion? I hope it's pray. If Christ prayed all night, I wonder how much longer we ought to be praying before decision.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
All right, so the U.S. apparently, King Obama's decided on a way to approach ISIS. It's amazing. Something has broke, apparently, in his administration. New York Times, U.S. embracing a new approach on battling ISIS in Iraq. They made a decision. It's been months, but they've made a decision. They've had all the experience of the Iraq War, but they've made a decision. You see what I'm getting at here? 610-539-TALK, the number to call. Mike Levins here. Thank you so much for joining the program. It's wonderful to have you with us on It's a New Day. And again, I-295, they probably cleared it by now, although I don't know. If you're stuck in traffic there on I-295, I feel for you. I really do. The apple juice is what's causing it, quite frankly. 80,000 gallons of it spilled over by a tractor trailer that flipped. The apple juice is not causing it, but I just think that's interesting. I would love to see 80,000 gallons of apple juice, but hope that everyone is fine. No one is hurt. It looks to be a nice day, too. The weather was beautiful when I stepped out of the house this morning. It was absolutely beautiful. It was nice and cool. Oh, that heat. I can't take it anymore. And it's not really that hot. Maybe I'm just a wuss. I lived in Florida for so long. You think I'd be used to the heat. You'd sit there and go, why in the world did you move up to Pennsylvania? I love the cold. I do. The heat in Florida is unbearable. Humidity? Oh, 100%. You can't take it. Just to kind of give you a whole picture of this whole racism issue. And it's like, you know, people, racism as we knew it years ago, not the same as it is today. I think it's more on stereotypes today. I mean, I'm looking at an article from 6ABC. WPVE. WPVI TV in Philadelphia. Apparently, South Philadelphia community, they've had enough of their neighbors being attacked. This was on June 2nd. There's a rally on Tuesday night, despite the rain, where 150 to 200 people gathered at 4th and Wolf to protest a rash of what they claim are racial attacks at the hands of four black women who live nearby. Quote, these females have been terrorizing the neighborhood. They have robbed, attacked, and beat others in our neighborhood, event organizer Jack Owens said. A man who did not want to be identified says he and his 10-year-old son were among the victims. So I could bring you, for every racist story, and when I say racist, I'm not saying there's actual racism there. For every story that gets spun to be racist, I could bring you another story that's the flip side of real racism. So I could do that as long as the day is light. And that's not going to accomplish anything. But let me shift gears for a second here. Here we go, going into the new gear. U.S. is embracing a new approach on battling ISIS in Iraq. This is a New York Times article. I'm interested to see what King Obama has declared for us to be doing. The White House on... Now, I did just read a scripture about how God has established authority and how even Barack Obama is God's servant. Whoa! Did I just go there? Oh, I went there. You know why I went there, though? My political views are not... They're not right, left. I hate being characterized or characterizing anyone as that way. My political views are Christian. And I base it off of this. Romans 13, if you're listening, by the way, welcome to the program. It's wonderful to have you with us. You could call in at 610-539-TALK if you feel so inclined to opine. If you know where I just took that from, then good for you. If not, hopefully I don't get a call from them or something like that saying, you're stealing our words. I only used it once. It's freedom of speech, buddy. Anyway. Romans 13, okay, I'm looking at verse 4. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. Now scripture also says that there are evil rulers, there are those who do evil. But as far as their authority, that is established by God, and God commands us to respect their authority, even if they're evil. Am I saying Barack Obama is evil? I'm not saying blanket, oh, Barack Obama's evil. I'm not saying that, okay? But I do think, though, that he's not right for the country. And I disagree with a lot of what he's doing. And you know what? Quite frankly, I think a lot of what he's doing is. I do. I think a lot of what he's doing is evil. Well, I think the man himself is evil. Well, you know what? I think we're all kind of in the same boat. Really. As far as that's concerned, we're all in the same boat. We all need Jesus. And he's the only answer to all of this. Even this whole thing with McKinney, Jesus is the only answer. And that's what I love about sitting here and talking to you on these mornings, because I get to give you a real solution. Not just talk about the issues and complain about them. The real solution is Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus alone. It's in Scripture. He's the only one that's going to be able to fix all the problems our nation faces today. Even if it's far gone for our nation, even if our nation won't get any better or turn around, Jesus is still Lord, and we could still look to him for hope. And he will always have that hope. And we could always find our peace and rest and joy. That's the flip side. Even though bad things happen, even though there may be terrible headlines in the news, Jesus Christ still loves you, and he still is Lord. And even though we sin and we make mistakes, if we ask him, he'll take all the blame for our sin and forgive us and help us walk day to day as we live according to his word. It's wonderful. I love it. That's why I do this, people. I don't just do this to complain. I do this to tell you the real answer, and that's in Jesus. And it's in God's word, too. You know, Jesus, the word in flesh. All right, I'm preaching now. But that's what I'm talking about. That's the real hope and change. The real hope and change is in none other but Jesus Christ, not some politician. Let that go down in the history books. Because that is the truth. So, Barack Obama, God's servant. With that said now, King Obama has a strategy. For ISIS, apparently. The fall of Ramadi last month effectively settled the administration debate, at least for the time being. American officials said Ramadi was now expected to become the focus of a lengthy campaign to regain Mosul at a later stage, possibly not until 2016. Now, looking at a New York Times article, the additional American troops will arrive as early as this summer, a United States official said, and will focus on training Sunni fighters with the Iraqi army. The official called the coming announcement an adjustment to try to get the right training to the right folks. I really mean this. I'm not trying to be tongue-in-cheek here, but didn't we already do this? I'm really not trying to be tongue-in-cheek, but seriously. Now, from this point on, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. You know what Einstein's definition of insanity is, don't you? You try to do the same thing and expect a different result. That's tongue-in-cheek. But no, really, though, didn't we? I mean, seriously, I'm actually really asking this question. Didn't we already try this? See, I think that this has more to do with fellow Muslims struggling against fighting against other Muslims. That's what I think, even if they have the whole Shia-Sunni divide thing, because that is a clear divide in Islam, and they've killed each other for a long time because of their differences in views and things. But I think this has more to do with the fact that some of these Iraqi fighters may agree with what ISIS is doing, and they don't want to fight against it. It's a cultural issue, folks. It's a cultural issue. Why else would they not want to fight for their homes in the face of such a terrible horror that is ISIS? Because maybe they're conflicted. I think that's what's going on. Honestly, I do. So we may need to completely revisit. So we've already done this. Apparently there's more to it. We're going to look into that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We're heading to a break right now. But it's a new day in 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Join me, Carla Dedessi, here every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL. King of Prussia. Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. There are already more U.S. troops in Iraq than there are Iraqi soldiers being trained. And more Americans may be heading there. Fox News Radio's John Decker, live at the White House.
The president is considering a Pentagon request to deploy up to 400 more U.S. troops to Iraq to train local forces fighting ISIS. The Pentagon is also considering establishing a new training base in Iraq's Anbar province and is reviewing ways to improve its air power in Iraq, which is a key part of the president's goal of defeating and destroying ISIS. The changes come just days after the president said the U.S. lacked a complete strategy for helping Iraq regain territory from the Islamic State. Dave?
John, the police officer protesters demanded to be fired and charged in suburban Dallas. David Eric Casebolt has resigned.
The actions of Casebolt, as seen on the video of the disturbance at the community pool,
are indefensible.
McKinney, Texas Police Chief Greg Conley, the white officer, was seen pinning a black teen to the ground and pointing his gun at two others. A tense meeting in L.A. as the police commission rules on an August shooting that left Izzell Ford dead.
The commission found that one officer's drawing of his weapon, tactics, and use of force was unjustified. They didn't approve of the second officer's initial drawing of his weapon, but ultimately found the firing of his weapon was. Ford, who was mentally ill, struggled with one officer over his gun.
That's Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. The commission's findings were presented to the L.A. District Attorney to be reviewed. They've checked fields, the woods, and homes, but still no sign of the two escaped killers. More than 4 days after David Sweat and Richard Matt broke out, the search shifted yesterday to Willsboro, New York, 40 miles from the prison. Two men were spotted walking down a road at 2 a.m.
The weather has certainly not been on the side of those conducting the manhunt. It has been dreary. It has been rainy. There's been a great deal of fog with very low visibility.
That's Fox's David Lee Miller. This is Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
I love mosquitoes. They're so cute. Their cute little wings and pokey little mouth. I just want to cuddle with one. Make it my little mosquito pet. I'll call him Skeety. Said no one ever. There's mosquito repellent, and then there's mosquito dead. Kill them with Terminix Mosquito Service. Kills more than 90% in 2 to 3 weeks, and it's safe to use around people and pets. Call 1-800-TERMINIX today. 1-800-TERMINIX. Death to mosquitoes.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN. To see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Jeb Bush may formally become a presidential candidate next week, joining the crowded Republican race for president. And he's gone overseas to raise his profile there. Fox News Radio's Simon Owen live in our European bureau.
Dave, in a speech in a business conference in Berlin, Jeb Bush going after Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Ukraine, a sovereign European nation, must be permitted to choose its own path.
Suggesting a Bush presidency in 2016 would mean stepped up U.S. actions to counter Russian aggression.
Russia must respect the sovereignty of all of its neighbors. And who can doubt that Russia will do what it pleases if aggression goes unanswered?
Next stop for Bush, Poland, and then Estonia. He returns to the U.S. Saturday and is expected to announce his candidacy Monday. Dave?
Simon, Russia's president has gone to Italy to meet with the country's premier and then Pope Francis at the Vatican as the U.S. tries to encourage the Pope to join the West, condemning Russia's actions meddling in Ukraine. On Wall Street, futures are higher, suggesting gains at the opening bell. LeBron James, now just two more wins away from giving Cleveland its first championship in decades.
Yes, with 40 points, LeBron James was the leading scorer last night in the Cleveland Cavaliers' 96-91 victory over Golden State. But James was handing out compliments to Matthew Dellavedova.
30 and a half minutes, he gave everything he got, and it was great to have someone like that out on the floor that's willing to sacrifice everything for the better of the team.
Dellavedova had 20 points, and he hounded most valuable player Stephen Curry. Curry and the Warriors trailed by 20 points, but they finally showed some life in a fourth-quarter comeback.
For us to win this series, we have to play that way the whole game.
The Cavaliers now lead the best-of-seven series 2-1, Game 4 tomorrow at Cleveland. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
There was a no-hitter in baseball last night. San Francisco Giants rookie pitcher Chris Heston did it in a shutout of the New York Mets. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.